That. Yeah. Let's continue the base pack sphere. We're talking about stars. So Kadosh Baruch Hu uses the constellations and the heavenly bodies and Baker the sun as his agents to bring life into this world. And we said that that means life. Life, defining life as something that you can't touch or feel. Life is not a physical thing. And also, the physical aspects of life, the process of the sun shining on the plants, and they produce chlorophyll, and that gives them, you know, the green stuff. Chlorophyll is that green stuff that makes everything grow, and causes the plants to give, to absorb carbon dioxide and give up oxygen, which is part of the eco cycle. Physical as well, but that's not the main part. That's not what life is. That's like the final stage of what life is. And that's what the sun and the moon and the stars and the nebulas do. Ulam. But there's another quality to the heavenly bodies. Chaka Kabari is Baruch Makadosh Baruch Hu decreed Bakechad Me'ilu Rusha Gamkin and Yoni Mikri Hagesham Masigeim. Mikrim is happenings. Yeah, like a davish yesh by simon. Guy loses something with a simon, and then when he finds out about it, he riyayish. Taisa says it's a mikri. He just happened to be riyayish. It wasn't destined for him to be riyayish. The happenings, the things that happen in this world, things that just happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a decision the world should run a certain way, and there's some mechanism that makes it happen that way down here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does it through the Kechavim and the Shemesh and the Yireh. Yimashchal Yidim Lamata Ba'isa Tzur Shetzrich Lukas Be'am Dach Mashal Chayim, life, Oysher, wealth, Chachma, wisdom, Hazara, children, Kietzer. When someone gives birth to a child, there's nothing accidental about it. There's nothing random about it. If someone is born and enters into wealth, that's something which was fixed. The gzera, min hashamayim, before a child is born, whether he's going to be a chacham or not a chacham, an asher or not an asher, strong, healthy, wise, crafty, none of this is up to chance.
Let's say a person has a certain, when he's born, he's supposed to have this and this amount of money. Through his actions, can he either make that lower or higher? He does everything opposite of what Hashem wanted him to do to get that wealth.
Right.
Is it decreased, for example?
You know, that's a very good question. So what if it's niggas on a person who's going to be wealthy, and then he does bad things? He's going to lose his money. I would answer you that there are wealthy people that have no money. You know that. They make a lot of money. They're very much a part of the world of money. And they're ashirim. But they have nothing from it. So that's what would happen. It was nigzar shamayim that someone's going to be an usher. He will be a rich man. But whether he's going to get any benefit whatsoever could be affected by the miser. There are rich people that don't have $5 for a taxi cab.
What does that mean?
It's all tied up. They had a bad year. They're not rich people that they have more debts than a poor person could ever amass in a lifetime. They're rich people. They're wealthy people, and they owe millions of dollars. And I'm talking about millions of dollars. Even a poor guy could owe millions of dollars. I'm talking about numbers that we don't
what
have.
Makes a
and they're rich. Yeah, because
they have
a nice car.
No, because you see that. No, 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 no. You see, they have a certain nozzle that they travel the roads of high finance.
Like
that means that they're totally, right, that means that they're they live in the world of money.
Yeah.
Big money, major money, mucha money. Really, you know, that is, you see that that's their mazel. Whether they actually get anything from the money, that's totally in the mazel. There are people that they never saw a dime in their life. And they don't care. Okay, so that's how I'd answer your question. Is that good? I think so. So Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzera that someone's going to be wealthy. Hashem makes that gzera, and the place where Hashem makes that gzera, there's no such thing as money. Break it down in your head. Hashem decrees in his heavenly court, you know, by listening to, you know, all the midos coming together and deciding what is this Hashem going to be. The gavel, the sons, wealthy, fine. Is there money up there? Is there such a thing as wealth in Shemayim? Right, there's no money. So that psak has to go through a process. I'm saying this is a very, we are going over the same episode over and over and over again in different forms. And we talked about a neshama being created by Hashem and going through a process until it develops and becomes a guf. And now we're talking about a psak, whether someone's going to be wealthy. And that psak is real, that means that there's wealth. But it's not a physical wealth. Wealth in total, right? Okay. Wealth, it's not a physical wealth. It's a sikhliistic wealth. It's a wealth which has no connection with anything gashmius, and through a series of steps enters into this world as a force which is on the same level as the force of gravity. It's just like there's a force of gravity which you can't see and you can't smell and you can't taste and you can't touch, but it's there, and that force of gravity makes the apple fall down from the tree, and it's a physical force. There's a physical force which makes this person wealthy. And that is channeled through the kechavim, through the stars. And the same for intellectual capabilities, faculties. People can be born smart. People can be born challenged. And we all know this. And there's no changing that. Someone that's born challenged...
There's no changing?
You can't change it. Someone that's born challenged has to compensate. You know, I don't have too much experience in this field, but along the years of teaching, I've had the skills to teach learning disabled, very, very brilliant learning disabled students, and there's nothing about their intelligence that's any less, that they're not any less than anyone else, but they think differently.
You think they're what?
They think they have a different thought process. Now, I don't even know how to describe it. First of all, everyone has different thought processes. You know, teaching, sharing information is a process that the teacher is taking this topic at hand, the subject matter, the way he understands it, expressing in the word, choosing the words, and expressing in the words that he understands it, and then saying it over to people that those words mean something totally different to them. And that's just the words. The concept behind it is even more. And that's a challenge of a teacher, that the teacher has to find the words in his mind. He has to try and imagine how this idea, this concept, is to be understood by others. And then express it in a way that everyone can understand it. And you have to do it by trial and error. You have to get to know the student, the group. And you have to have interaction and contact. And then as you go along, you get better at it. But it's never going to be perfect. And learning disabled people, they're totally, you know, it's like you have to go all around the world and come back. You know, you can't scratch your right ear with your right finger. You got to go around the world to scratch. You know, that's why these professionals don't have to do it. I once tried to get a concept through to someone, and It was the concept of Mamet Shlashtan. Ruben borrows money from Shimon, and he wants to pay Shimon back. Now Shimon's talking to Levi. So Ruben's about to pay Shimon back, and Shimon says, you know what, instead of paying me the money, you pay Levi. They all agree.
Isn't the first paragraph?
Yes, yes. It's called Ramesh Lashtan. And, okay. Then Reuven changes his mind. He says, you know what? I don't want to give it to Levi. Give it to me. You can't change his mind. Once all three of them are present, Ramesh Lashtan, he said it, it goes their way. So the Pashkin trying to explain how it works, you know. It's very complex. Because,
makes sense.
No, because Reuven lent the money to Shimon. Shimon wanted to pay back to Reuven. If Shimon would have paid Reuven back, so he'd be able to give it to Levi himself. So Reuven told Shimon, instead of you giving it to me giving it to him, so you give it straight to him, and then there's no point to you giving it to me, giving it to him. You know, this guy lost it. I could not explain it to him. I could not explain it to him. For the life of him, I couldn't explain it to him. And the more I tried, the worse it got. So then he goes back, he says, yeah, mate, are you trying to tell me it's a three-point loan, a three-man loan, like it's a football, you know? I said, yeah. I said, what's that? He tells me what it is. He said, I got it. Why don't you say so? You know, I said, there's a processing, is it? You have to compensate. And he has to learn that he has to compensate. And that way, whenever he goes to a shiur and learns a sigma, he has five more steps, and he can do it, as long as he knows he has to do it. It slips on him, he's not going to be a chacham. Never goes away. And he can become a gadol hador. He can become a gadol hador. This person can become a gadol hador. But he's always going to have three more steps than everyone else does. And he can look at himself, he can do the five steps quicker than someone can do the one step. He can do that. And be a genius and everything. But the Zohar is on him. So he has more steps. Processing. And as long as we see it b'chush, it's not our imagination, it's not there, we see it b'chush. It's a gzera. And there are people, my Rebbe, Gifter, Zichro Levracha, he had a Rebbe, named Rabbi Mordechai Pogromansky. Rabbi Mordechai Pogromansky was one of the Gdeli Adar at the age of 30. He was big, he was huge. He was known to be above and beyond. The people couldn't figure out how he knew what he knew and how he knew it. It was just, he wasn't just smarter than everyone else or quicker and knew more than everyone else. It was a totally different level. It was beyond the capability of big people to understand how he could be so big. And he strained himself too much, and the doctor said that for a period of time, he can't learn. Well, this happened more than once. He strained himself, he couldn't, they said, it's a kindness of precious, it's danger, you're endangering your health, life, to learn Torah, because he concentrated so with so much of every last ounce of energy, take a break. And he did, he got better, and Baruch Hashem, he was able to go back to learning. So my Rebbe asked him, he said, what did you do during that period? You know, there's Bissel Torah. You have to do something. He said that he went to the entire collection of Swedish classic literature.
What?
Swedish classics. Rabbi Gifter asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Pogromansky, the Rebbe knows Swedish? He said, no. So how'd you do that? He said, I taught myself Swedish. There's a dictionary? He said, no, I took a Swedish newspaper. And I read it, and I taught myself Swedish.
What?
All right, now you got to figure out how he did that. My Rebbe said, but don't you have to know Swedish in order to read the Swedish newspaper? He said, no, you take it, and you teach yourself Swedish. He said, I'm sure how you. To his examination, now he, besides the fact that he was born very smart, he put a lot of effort into it, he put in a superhuman effort, but there was exam on him, he should be chacham. You can't comprehend what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. My Rebbe didn't understand it either. Figure it out. Does Xeris, where does Xeris come from? In Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses that this neshama should be a chacham. Hashem doesn't say it'll be a talmid chacham, that's up to a person's behavior. Hashem expresses the wish that the person will be a chacham. When Hashem wishes something, it is. Hashem's wish creates. It doesn't create anything physical. It goes through a series of stages until it becomes something which could enter into this world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu appoints the malachim that are appointed over the sun and the moon and the stars to bring it about in this world.
How is it possible? Let's say there was a story I forgot. I think the Rav Moshe Feinstein Rebbe. He said he was like, like an average guy, but one day he started crying over his Gemara or something because he was like less than everyone else, and he just got like something from Shemayim that he all of a sudden got a lot of chokmah. So
that was nice. And I was like, Siyata Dishmaya. A person can be zeichet to Siyata Dishmaya way beyond his own abilities.
So it's possible
It's possible to break through, but that's he wasn't able to do it himself. The mice, if I remember correctly, was with Pesach Pruskin. And he had a dream, and he saw in Shemayim that they're teaching him this whole Shtickle Torah. So that's not, that wasn't through human means. If he would have just worked hard and listened to these courses on how to sharpen your intellect, he wouldn't have done it. That was something that Minas Shemayim, because he was so much tzar, and because he was a tzaddik, and because he davened. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him something which is Lamar Midah Kateva, like a Navi, a prophet. He doesn't work hard at learning the sugya of Nevuah and then he understands the prophecy. He works hard at being a tzaddik, and Hashem revealed something to him which is way beyond him. I'm glad you brought that up. So anyway, it comes down to our world through the Malachim that are in charge of the heavenly body. Is a malach in charge of a son? Is a malach in charge of making sure that the sun does what he does? Is a malach in charge of the moon? Is a malach in charge of every single star? And they're not physical. And their job is to ensure the existence of the physical sun, and that the physical sun is able to give us physical life. And included in their job is to fill this world with wisdom. I'm sure you're aware that wisdom and light are synonymous. The pasuk says, "Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav." The wisdom of a person lights up his face.
What's
because Chachmas?
No, like from where's it from?
It's a Mishle. Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav. The wisdom of a person lights up his face. Because when you have light on, you can see. And when you're wise, you can also see. And you can see more with wisdom than you can with light. And the sun is the source of all light. And the sun is also the source of wisdom.
It's like a fool is compared to walking in the night.
In the night. So the physical sun is the source of physical light. And the malach behind the physical sun is in charge of the spiritual light. It fits nicely, even though I don't know what I'm talking about. But it does make a nice package. You come to a moon and a Kadosh Baruch Hu from the symmetry of things, that everything is fits together. And again, like we mentioned, that's why the Ari Gavei Zohar worship the sun. And he says it's divided up. In this Bhagavad name, divided among all the heavenly hosts, is called Mikka Makam, is a Shem, anything that happens to the physical world, anything and everything is divided up. There's different jobs. Every single star is a different job. The mixture of Shamakun Taksitus and Kapisa Dream. And that means that all physical things have something in common because we all get our natures or even the events, the very events, the natures and the happenings and the occurrences all come from one source, from the Shemayim. So there's a unity in creation, there's a symmetry. I mean, this symmetry is a unity, it all comes from one place. When anybody who knows anything about astronomy knows about the symmetry. With the different, the way they work with each other, and that's what astronomy is all about. And there's a tremendous chokhmah there. The Scottish Mercury Masha is from Morocco. And things begin to move down here depending on what a Kodesh Baruch Hu dictates upon us. We keep you a Scottish Mercury Masha. It's a mitzvah again tomorrow. Tomorrow is our last day. A mitzvah I hope that we'll be learning tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I think we'll find out.